Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk about.
Who are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big One Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, we talked a few days ago, and, you know, I said, and I still believe that, you know, I don't think we can get too fixated on any one particular position, because it takes a lot of good players to build a sustainable championship club, as you guys know, and as this organization has demonstrated in the past. And so, you know, we need talent of all kinds. But that said, that is an area where we are not as deep as we would like, certainly not in the major leagues or in the upper levels of our farm system. And it's nice when you're able to bring in talent that also fits, you know, an area where you're looking to build depth.
Boy, Chaim Bloom is smooth, isn't he? He's smooth. He says last week when they were asked about not getting enough pitching, getting any pitching in the Mookie Betts deal to the Dodgers. Well, no, we got three good players in that deal. It's really just about getting players. It's really not about getting specific talent. You can't look to address specific needs. You want as many good players as you can in your organization. Now, the Red Sox make a deal. They trade away a couple of veteran relievers, get a couple of 20-something pitchers, and now all of a sudden it's, well, that being said, it is nice to fill a need when you can fill a need. I mean, we all know that that's important too, which is what the Red Sox did last Friday. So here is what we're going to do, because again, we all know the games mean zero. The games mean squat. So every once in a while, there'll be a little something that happens in these Red Sox games that if you want to touch on, by certainly we can. 617-779-0985 here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll take your calls up until 7 o'clock. Matt McCarthy is here to join tonight as Jim Murray was out today. So it's a good time to have Matt in here, as there are things to talk about with the Red Sox, who are now tied for the worst record in the American League at 9-20. They were the first team to 20 losses in the big leagues this year, still in contention, very much in contention, for a high pick in the draft. In fact, would you believe me if I told you that, and let me get this right. I'm sorry. Okay, I got this wrong. The Red Sox now are tied for the second worst record still in baseball. In baseball, with the Los Angeles Angels, so certainly in position to get a high pick. But I want to focus on the deal they made that we found out about after we left here on Friday. Heath Embry gone, closer Brandon Workman gone, both to the Philadelphia Phillies for a couple of right-handed pitchers. One is Nick Pivetta, who has been underwhelming in the big leagues, to say the least. He is, I believe, 25 years old, Pivetta is.
That's correct.
And the other guy the Red Sox acquired, Connor Siebold, a 23, 24-year-old right-hander with the Phillies, who was most recently at Double-A, I believe, will also or has joined the Red Sox, both of those guys on the roster. I'll tell you what my thoughts are on the deal and really the overall direction of the organization, particularly under Bloom. But I know McCarthy has a strong opinion, so go ahead, Matt, go first.
All right, so philosophically, Maz, I don't think you and I disagree with moving on from Workman or Hembry. This really isn't about those two guys. It's more about Chaim Bloom and his approach to building a roster and building a pitching staff. Because it is apparent to me that this guy is infatuated with, how shall I say this, trash.
Garbage.
Trash. Garbage. Another pitcher, Chaim Bloom, has now gone out and acquired another pitcher with a 5.5 ERA. Nick Pivetta, 25 years old, but he's been in the big leagues for 4 years, okay? This is his fourth big league season, and he's got an ERA of 5.5. How many of these guys do we truly need to bring into this organization? It's Nick Pivetta one day. It's Dylan Covey. It's Matt Hall. It's Jeffrey Springs. Chaim Bloom continues to go out there and continues to bring these guys in because for some reason he thinks he can find undervalued talent or guys who haven't hit their stride. And so far, none of these guys have hit. None of them have worked out. And eventually you have to say, dude, you're bringing in guys with a 5.5 ERA. What do you expect? What do you honestly expect in the results that you're getting from these pitchers, because they have a documented track record of not being big league pitchers, yet he seems to think that he can find the diamond in the rough. Well, what I've seen from Chaim Bloom so far is that he can't find the diamond in the rough. He keeps looking for these undervalued pitchers, and it just doesn't seem to be hitting.
Okay,
that is my frustration. Why do we need another guy with a 5.5 ERA? We don't need more of these guys.
Has Martin Perez worked out for the Red Sox?
Meh. He is what he is. At least Martin Perez, I know, is a big league pitcher. Okay? You know, I don't think he's particularly good, but he's a big league pitcher. Nick Pivetta with a 5.5 ERA might not be a big league pitcher. Dylan Covey isn't a big league pitcher. Matt Hall, Jeffrey Springs, Josh Osich.
Was Dylan Covey a trade?
Yeah, didn't he acquire or was he designated for assignment?
Okay, he might
either way.
He might have been a trade, like
cash consideration.
I don't even put him in the same breath.
Former first round pick, though.
Okay, but here is my point: if you are a Red Sox fan, and I sort of throw you under the same umbrella, McCarthy, not necessarily as a fan, but the complaint with the deal, which, by the way, with Bloom, I don't have a problem with the criticism of Bloom. In fact, I'd love to hear Red Sox fans' opinion of Chaim Bloom. So if that's where you want to go, that's fine. 617-779-0985. As for the trade the Red Sox made on Friday, and none of you, most of you, haven't heard of Nick Pivetta or the kid they got in the minor leagues, Connor Siebold, which is fine. What I'll ask you is this. What did you think you were going to get in a deal? What did you think you were going to get in this kind of deal at the deadline? Did you think you were getting a front of the rotation guy? Is that what you thought you were going to get? That kind of pitcher? With what collateral? What are the Red Sox going to trade to get that kind of pitcher at the front end of their rotation? Let me clue everybody in on something again. You have no prospects and you have no money. So what the hell do you think you're going to get? The whole point of bringing Chaim Bloom here was to pick through the trash, go through the dumpster, and see if you could find something in there that had some value. Now, can Nick Pivetta pitch? Is that his name, Nick?
That's right.
Okay, see, I don't even know. Can Nick Pivetta pitch? No. I don't know.
No.
Can he succeed in Boston? I have no idea. Can Connor Siebold? I have no clue. I'm not going to make any promise. I have no idea. Here's what I did know. Heath Embry and Brandon Workman, replaceable. Workman was going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Easy got a deal. And let's face it, Workman isn't really a closer. He's a seventh-inning guy at best. Embry is a sixth-inning guy when you're behind. That's what he is. Neither one of those guys are really what I would call championship-caliber pitchers. Workman might be close. Okay, Workman's got some balls, but at the end of the day, he's just flipping curveballs up there because that's what the analytics tell him to do now anyway. So you gave up two 30-something pitchers and got two kids in their 20s who might have some potential. I'm okay with that. Now, is it going to work? I have no idea. But I would do the same thing with Jackie Bradley. I would do the same thing with who else is on the roster that we want to get rid of.
How about Matt Barnes?
Matt Barnes, another good one. Barnes might have a little more value than some of those other guys. You might be able to get more for Barnes. You want to tell me you want to move Martin Perez? Fine. Do it.
I'll drive him out of town myself.
Okay, this is what you should be doing, though. Go get yourself a bunch of 25-year-olds who haven't panned out with other organizations, and maybe one of them sticks. One. That's all you're going to get is one. And to get one, you know how many you're going to have to sign or trade for? 7, 8. Because you're not going to hit on many of these. So as I said earlier, if this kid, Pivetta, and I say kid, he's not really a kid anymore. He's creeping into those mid-20s. He's starting to approach his peak years. But he's still got time. If he turns into Nathan Eovaldi, is it a good deal?
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
So I would take that. I would take that. And one of the things I like about Pivetta is his size. He's 6'5", 220 or something. They need somebody in that rotation that can handle some innings. Which is something that Bloom, by the way, said, Jimmy, I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit. There's a cut in the system called Bloom 2 from today, I think, that you put in there. This was Bloom giving his scouting. We may start and stop this. And if you're on the line, just sit tight. But this is him talking about the two players they acquired and why they acquired them. If you didn't hear this, I don't blame you. You know, Red Sox coverage isn't exactly getting a lot of play these days, nor should it. But here is what Chaim Bloom said about the two pitchers the Red Sox got from the Phillies. Go ahead, Jimmy.
The two pitchers you got, you know, what intrigued you about both those guys and made this trade a worthwhile one for you?
Yeah, I'll start with Pivetta. Obviously, he has some major league time under his belt. He's a big physical power pitcher. He's got a really good fastball, good breaking ball. He also has a changeup. A guy who's shown the ability to carry a starter's workload and a lot of the underlying traits there.
Jimmy, can we stop for a second? Power pitcher with a good fastball. How many of those do the Red Sox have?
One.
They don't have many. So I'll take
one starter.
I'll take a guy with a good fastball because everyone else they get throws curveballs. One curveball after the next. Go ahead, Jimmy, continue.
A guy who's shown the ability to carry a starter's workload and a lot of the underlying traits there have shown the potential for a lot more success than he's enjoyed in terms of his results. Again, power pitcher that we think should be capable of holding down a rotation spot and really feel like he's a good fit going forward and that we've got a chance to help him reach a level that he has not yet in his career despite his big stuff. And Seabold spent last year in Double-A and finished the year in the Arizona Fall League, fourth round pick a few years ago by the Phillies. Starting pitching prospect who really has good feel to pitch, an arsenal that should work against both sides, quality pitchers, including a changeup. And again, really knows how to pitch, how to use his stuff. And
Jimmy, stop really- there. Okay, when they say a guy really knows how to pitch, Matt, what do you take out of it?
That means he throws 89 to 91.
I'm laughing because it's the first thing I said. Really knows how to pitch. He doesn't throw hard.
Right.
So I looked it up, 91 to 93, which honestly I think is plenty.
Absolutely.
He's topped out at 94. If you're averaging around 92, it's enough. Okay, it's enough. You start creeping below that. Now you...
What's the velocity of his changeup? Because that's what Bloom noticed first is his changeup.
Okay, so like I look at it and say, okay, fine. If this guy throws a lot of strikes and you think he projects, he has a chance to be middle end of the rotation. Fine.
Absolutely. I'd do that in a heartbeat for, two relievers who are on expiring contracts. Absolutely.
So all I'm telling Red Sox.
Ryan Weber again. Yay.
Okay, so this guy throws a little harder than Ryan Weber, who's throwing harder. Like 86 miles an hour. But Jimmy, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. So here's what I would tell you as a Red Sox fan, and I'm just trying to get you to set your expectations accordingly and properly. Get used to it. Get used to it. I'll say it again. You want to rebuild the team? Fine. Yeah, Bloom sucks. Okay, tell me, what does he have to trade, and how much money does he have to spend? And I would tell you not much on both questions. Not much. This is going to be a process. So, we don't like the guys he's picked up? Fine. You shouldn't. Most of them are going to suck. That's the whole reason they were able to get him. I don't think people understand the depth of this problem that the Red Sox have. So, yep, they've got Bogarts. Yep, they've got Devers. They got a couple of good young guys. They got J.D. Martinez under contract. But there are going to be more deals coming, and if there aren't, there should be. More of these deals. For pitchers you've never heard of who hasn't reached their potential yet or haven't reached their potential yet, Jackie Bradley should be headed out the door. Matt Barnes could be and should be probably headed out the door. Martin Perez, maybe. Mitch Moreland is another guy you should deal if you can. Move Mitch Moreland. I'd move Michael Chavis too, but that's another story. The only guys I'm not moving on this team, there are a few. I'm not moving Bogarts. And when I say I'm not moving, unless somebody knocks me over with three great prospects that I can't say no to. But I'm not moving Bogarts. I'm not moving Devers. I'm not giving away J.D. Martinez. I'm not giving away Christian Vasquez. Other than that, I think pretty much everybody's in play. Pretty much. Did I say Verdugo?
You did not say Verdugo.
Verdugo I'm keeping too. Benintendi I would move. Verdugo I'm keeping.
I'd move Verdugo.
I'd move one of those two, not both.
Oh, you can't keep both. I'm a big proponent of that.
So anyway, that's where they are. You want better pitching? You want some chance? You want some talent in the organization? You got to take some chances and try to pick up some garbage. And then you have to refinish it, put a new coat of paint on it, replace the nuts and bolts, and hope the thing works. That's what you have to do. As for the Philly pitchers, Nick Pivetta was highly touted at one point. There was one stage where they thought he was going to be a stud, and he hasn't turned out. I would like to find out why. We'll ask Jim Salisbury from Philadelphia that next.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mattis on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is a show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So again, Red Sox started selling off pieces on Friday. A couple of relievers go to the Philadelphia Phillies. Heath Hembree gone. Brandon Workman gone. Workman blew a game for the Phillies over the weekend. Chew on that one. And the Red Sox get a couple of guys back. Connor, I'm going to get the Seabold. Is that how you pronounce it? Connor Seabold and Nick Pivetta. And if you don't know much about those pitchers, I can't say I blame you. I mean, they're not exactly household names. It's not like the Red Sox are getting Max Scherzer in the deal. And I wouldn't expect Max Scherzer because the Red Sox don't have a ton to trade, but there are going to be more deals coming. So the question is, what did they get from Philadelphia exactly? And I won't take the Red Sox word for it because they're going to spin it for you. So let's bring in Jim Salisbury of NBC Sports Philadelphia. He joins us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. For those of you who don't know, Jimmy's covered baseball a long time and has as much knowledge of the game really as, and not to mention of the Philadelphia team, as anyone that I would ever bring in because I trust him. So, Jimmy, tell us about Pivetta. Tell us about Nick Pivetta.
Well, Pivetta, you're getting good physical raw ingredients. He's had them, you know, since he's been 19 years old. The problem is he's 26 or 27 now, and he hasn't really put it together. Big, tall right-hander, power right-hander. You know, 97, 98 when he's feeling good. You know, good breaking ball. At least the action on it is good. But, you know, the command on both pitches is very, very questionable. You know, he probably skews more toward a thrower than being a pitcher. And that's really common for a lot of young guys, as you know, Tony. But, you know, he's getting to the point where he's really not young anymore. But the pluses are it's a power arm. It's a healthy arm. The minuses are he's had a lot of chances here and he hasn't put it together. Definitely a classic change of scenery candidate. And sometimes those guys end up on their third team like he is. He was in the Washington organization, traded to Philadelphia in the summer of 15 for that Jonathan Papelbon.
Ah, yes.
And, yeah, so, you know, they put a lot of expectations on Pivetta last season coming into 2019. He was sort of everybody's breakout candidate around baseball. And that distinction was very much based on the numbers and on the analytics. And The Phillies had a very analytic-driven manager in Kapler and a very analytic-driven pitching coach, in a guy named Chris Young. And they thought he was going to ready to really put it together based on a lot of things, spin rate and FIP. And they awarded him the second start of the season behind Aaron Nola, and he only made four starts and was shipped out to the minor leagues. He gets in his own way because I think he's immature. He doesn't handle his emotions real well. He lacks pitchability. So when he gets in trouble, he can't really fall back on pitchability to get out of jams.
Gotcha.
But doesn't control his emotions real well on the mound. But you know, some guys click later. So it's a good arm, and every team thinks they can fix a good arm. I would urge Dave Bush to, the pitching coach who was a Philly guy, I remember he was a catcher in high school, you know, to take a look and see if maybe Nick Pivetta tips his pitches, because for a guy with such good stuff, he gets squared up a lot.
Okay,
and, but when he can execute at the top of the zone and throw that breaking ball down in the zone, i.e. command, which is very difficult, he can be pretty good.
Okay, so Jimmy, this is where I was going to ask you, because and you covered it pretty much all there, pretty comprehensive sort of analysis of him. But when, you know, when you described the Phillies operation, analytics-driven manager, analytics-driven pitcher, this is now what the Red Sox are. Now, we don't know who the manager is going to be. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Ron Renicki, but with Chaim Bloom here, they're going to be heavy on the analytics. And certainly this is the kind of guy, Jimmy, I'm not going to lie to you, I haven't seen a lot of Pivetta, but this is the kind of guy to me that they should take a shot on, because they need someone with a good arm who's got good ability and has the durability to pitch in the rotation. They just don't. Their farm system sucks, Jimmy. It's awful.
This is a guy you have to take a shot on. When he was very disappointed he didn't win a job in the rotation last month. They put him in the bullpen. He didn't pitch for 4 days. They were getting smoked like 10-1, and Girardi thought he needed some work, and he did need work. Girardi calls the bullpen, which was very unusual to see a manager actually call down and talk to the pitcher. I don't know if I've ever seen it. Pivetta picks up the phone. They talk. He nods. He comes into the game. He gives up like 7 hits. The kid clearly did not want to be in the game. It was beneath him coming into a garbage time game. The next day he was off to the satellite camp, and my phone rang 3 times the next day from scouts around baseball. Tell me about Pivetta, because that's, obviously they're going to ship him out, and he's the type of guy you take a chance on that maybe on his third team it clicks. But if he can show some maturity, I'm not sure how coachable he is, but, if he can turn the corner in those facets of the game, the raw ingredients, like I said, are pretty good. I've seen him have some dazzling performances where he blows people away at the top of the zone and commands a really sharp breaking ball down in the zone, and I've seen other games where he goes 3 or 4 innings looking pretty good. All of a sudden, there's traffic on the bases, and he looks like he's lost in the tide. He can't pitch his way out of it. So who knows when it clicks with certain guys, and if it doesn't, eventually they go home.
Okay, so, Jimmy, that's twice you used the word maturity or immaturity with him, which honestly scares me, okay? As a follower of baseball, anytime I hear about a guy's maturity issues, I always think that he doesn't get it. And so, but I don't want to spend the whole time we have you
on Pivetta.
Pivetta, Jesus.
Not a bad kid at all, really.
Okay, so that's good to know.
Not a bad kid. I root for him. I spoke to him after he left, and I told him I hope he goes and puts it all together, because he's a good kid. He works hard. I just think he doesn't control his emotions quite as well as a big league pitcher needs to.
Okay, and what can you tell us about Seabold, who is most recently at Double A, right?
He was at Double A last year. I guess he's got a chance to pitch in the big leagues, maybe back end. I maybe would worry about him a little in the American League East. There's a lot of thunder in that division. He's sinker, slider, command guy, but started to show all those things last year at A ball and Double A. They sent him to the Arizona Fall League, shut him down early with a little forearm, but they did not invite him to big league camp because they were really watching him. But they kind of expected him to be a guy that, that eighth or ninth starter, a depth piece, and maybe get to the big league at some point this year. The best I can tell you, he's got a chance.
Okay. Well, that's about what I guess, is that he's
got a chance to be a back end or a middle reliever.
Okay. So that, I was going to say, that's really what he seems to project as more based on the stuff and the analysis I read of him, is that he's an end of rotation guy, again, a contact guy. Who throws strikes, from what I gather, and Pivetta is probably a middle of the rotation guy at best, if it ever comes to that. Maybe he's hiring that. I don't know, based on what you're telling me. Go ahead.
People, there are scouts that love his ability. They just scratch their head why he hasn't put it together. But, I mean, it's a top-end arm, but, in terms of what we've seen so far in performance after 4 years, I mean, he had one of the highest ERAs in Phillies history. For the amount of workload he has shown. It was just time for a change. He needed to go somewhere else. He needs to hear from different people. Maybe the third team will be his charm. Like I said, I like him. He's a good guy. You'd like to see a good guy put it together, and I hope he can kind of harness his emotions and open his ears and listen to people, and maybe it'll happen for him.
Well, Jimmy, listen, thank you for the time, all right? I know you got plenty to do down there, so we appreciate the time and appreciate the scouting report, all right? Be well.
Yeah, good talking to you, Tony.
All right, it's Jim Salisbury again of NBC Sports Philadelphia, talking about the two pitchers the Red Sox acquired in the trade with the Phillies on Friday. Certainly something to keep an eye on. Seabold, it sounds like to me, sort of a flyer.
Yeah. He kind of reminds me a little bit of where Brandon Workman was in 2013 when I was out in Portland. You're saying, all right, this kid knows how to pitch, doesn't have great stuff, but, he's a middle reliever or a back end starter if things really work out.
Yeah, and the high ERA, he'll fit right in here.
Damn right he will.
He will absolutely fit in with that Red Sox staff. All right, 617-779-0985. I see a few of you lined up. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we'll take your calls. McCarthy's going to get you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, more hot takes on a short season. It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the bases are loaded now for Adam Duvall. Two outs. They're still alive with two outs. And the 2-1 pitch to Duvall. Line drive! Braves win it! Adam Duvall drives home Dansby Swanson, and the Braves have won the game. They've won the series, and they move to 16-11 on the year. What a furious final three-inning comeback.
2-1 pitch gets a hanging breaking ball. Look, this team's unbelievable.
Brandon Workman, first appearance with the Phillies, blew the game. Further evidence, you can take the player out of Boston. You can't take the Boston out of the player. That's how they go, at least not the 2020 player. But Workman picking up right where the Red Sox left off. Loses one for the Phillies right out of the chute. 617-779-0985. We'll go to your calls. My buddy Tom and Quincy here have been waiting a while. Tom, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Workman's performance was true to form. That's awesome. I love it. Tony, I got a question. Now that it looks like the Sox are making these moves and teams are going to be inquiring, right? One, when the hell is Jackie Bradley Jr. going to be moved? Because I can't deal with him anymore. And two, with the other, you know, veteran leaders on this team, with Moreland and Pilar, don't you feel like teams that are contending are going to make a push for guys like that?
Yes, Tom.
I love the way Pilar's been playing. I really do. But my thing today I saw is Tomasi wrote about moving Vasquez. Like, why the hell would you move Vasquez? He's not costing you any money, and he's one of the best defensive catchers, and he's young in all of baseball. I'd keep him, Devers, and Bogaerts, and to hell with everybody else at this point.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. I would keep Vasquez, too, because he's cheap, and overall at the position, he's good.
Right, under team control, absolutely.
But,
with you, Maz.
But if you're asking me that, if you're telling me you can get something for Vasquez, then yes, I would move him. Now, again, he's overall, since the start of last year, Vasquez has played well. He's another one I sort of put under the Alex Cora umbrella. I think Cora really was able to reach a lot of the Hispanic guys on the team. There was a connection there, and I don't think it's a coincidence that Christian Vasquez, Rafael Devers, and Eduardo Rodriguez all had their best years under Alex Cora, and that Xander Bogaerts fully blossomed under Alex Cora. I think those are all connected. Now, with regard to trades, and I know there are a few other people here on the line. Just sit tight for a second, because Matt McCarthy has a little bit of news, and that is Kenny Rosenthal tweeted out, what about Andrew Benintendi, Matt?
Yeah, Ken Rosenthal has a piece on The Athletic, you know, running down some potential trades, trade deadline stuff, you know, which is only, what, a week away here in baseball. And in a segment talking about the situation involving the Cleveland Indians with Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac, the two pitchers who got sent to minor league camp after going out and partying with their friend, or with their friends, he said as part of that paragraph that the Red Sox Andrew Benintendi is available in regards to a potential, and the Indians would be looking for outfield help for either Clevinger or Plesac. And in this paragraph, he says, the Red Sox Andrew Benintendi is an available 3-plus hitter, and that is referring to service time.
Okay, so 3-plus means he's eligible for arbitration. The salary will start to go up, but the Indians can handle that for a couple of years. Cleveland's got a lot of pitching. And again, as Matt told you earlier in the year, Plesac and Clevinger went out with some friends, broke protocol, potentially expose the whole team to COVID-19. and the Indians got pissed at them and immediately sent them out of the clubhouse.
Right. Sent them to minor league camp. See you later.
Right. Sent them to the player pool. Right. Yeah. So they couldn't get rid of them fast enough. And Clevinger had a good year last year.
Clevinger was really good. 13-4, 2.71. He struck out 169 guys on 126 innings. He's a good pitcher.
Okay.
He's a really good pitcher.
And what was, how old's Clevinger?
Clevinger is, hold on here one second, 29.
Okay, so he's 29. a little on the older side.
Right, and he has two more years of control before free agency.
Okay, Plesac is much younger, much less accomplished. And I say, what are Clevinger's career numbers? If you have those up in front of you.
Hold on. He is, he's got a career 320 ERA, 3.20 ERA, 42-22 for his record. So, yeah, I mean, Clevinger's been a good pitcher in the big leagues for quite some time.
Okay, so the only thing that concerns me about Clevinger is the age. Okay, the 29 is a little higher than I would like. To make it 27, I'm probably in, although Benintendi's 26 now himself. So I would move Benintendi. But I will say this about, it tells me the Red Sox are exploring it. If Kenny Rosenthal said Benintendi is a 3-plus player who is available, I'm not surprised by this. I think the Red Sox would move Benintendi. I think if they can get good pitching back for him, they should move Benintendi. Now, if you tell me that they're going to make the same kind of deal they made with Philly for Benintendi, I'll say no.
Right.
No. You got to do better than that. With Benintendi, you got to get something that's a little bit more of a sure thing. So you want to tell me that it's Clevinger? Again, I don't love the age, 29, but if you're going to have him for a couple of years and the Red Sox need short-term help. So Benintendi's probably going to be out of here in 3 years anyway.
Right.
I mean, you're only going to get 3 years out of Benintendi. That's the way you have to look at it.
Their contract situation is the same contract situation. They're both 3-plus players, meaning that they will be free agents. At the same time. To me, it makes a lot of sense in the world, Maz, and you're getting reports. There are some other reports out there that the Indians are going to be more willing to move Clevinger in a trade than Plesac because Plesac is under team control for the next 5 years.
Yeah,
and he had a really good rookie season. He's a good pitcher.
Yeah, Plesac's young.
Right.
I mean, again, he's
25. You've got him for the next 5 years.
And so another guy who, you know, with not overpowering stuff, but doesn't walk many people either. He's under 3 walks per 9 innings. And I'm just trying to give you more, you know, details here. Look up Clevinger's walk totals. I hate guys who walk people. His walk totals are a little high.
They are a little high.
Although they were high last year, they were quite good.
They were really good.
Okay, but it's something to keep an eye on.
126 innings.
But here's the ultimate takeaway for you if you're a Red Sox fan. Andrew Benintendi's in play. He's in play.
He should be.
And if the Red Sox can get a half-decent starting pitcher for him, and again, I would categorize that as a number three starter or better. You're not getting an ace for Benintendi. But you might be able to get yourself a qualified major league pitcher to put in that rotation, which we all know is pathetic. Matt is in Linfield on the Philly show. Go ahead, Matt.
I got to correct you on something real quick about...
Matt, I got to let you go because you are absolutely muffling through your phone. It's god-awful. Nobody can understand you. Dominic's in Millis. Dominic, go ahead.
So when are we going to stop with these, you know, analytics dream pitchers? Like, I get what you're saying, that like he's got good stuff and whatever, and he's big, fat ass, whatever, but like he sucks. He's like 400 innings into his career. If you haven't proven it by now and you're 27, like, you suck. Can Chaim Bloom get
Dominic, can I stop you for a second? Yeah. I don't think he's 27.
He's 27.
I thought he was 25. All right.
No, that's why I'm like, I saw it coming out of work on Friday night that they traded for this jackass. And I'm like, okay, if you haven't proven it by 27, I don't care if you're an analyst, wet dream or what. Like, but stop. This has to stop with these retread idiots that blow. Like, I'm getting fed up with Chaim Bloom trading for these idiots.
Okay, so Dominic, let me ask you, what do you think you're going to get trading Brandon Workman and Heath Embry?
I would rather it be a 23-year-old that sucks, because at least he's 23.
Okay, but you got a 25-year-old minor leaguer in the deal as well. So you got both. So this is my only thing with Red Sox fans. And I would tell you, so look, I'm not saying you Chaim Bloom has struck gold yet either. How many deals has he made that he wanted to make? Do you think he wanted to trade Mookie Betts? Because I don't put that one under his or on his resume. I mean, maybe I should. Because he wanted to make a deal. I think he got overruled by ownership and then ended up with 3 positional players instead of Brusdar Graterol. I think they went back to him and said, can't do this. That's what it felt like anyway. So that one got rejected. But he walked into a situation where they couldn't sign Mookie and he had to deal him. My point is, his hands were kind of tied. And they had to get under the luxury tax, so he had to make a deal. But this deal he wanted to make. He wanted to dump veteran pitching for some young guys and take a shot. So listen, I'm all for beating up the GM. You fire away. I'm just trying to tell you that I don't think the guy's really done anything yet for us to know what the hell he is. And he might suck. You might be right. He might completely blow. I have no idea. What I do know is that his real job starts now. Starts now. Because they're at the trading deadline and they stink, and these should be layups, these kinds of deals. And when I say layups, I mean the decision to make them. I don't think the Red Sox are close to done here. And Bennett, if Benintendi's in play, they might be able to get themselves a half-decent pitcher. Mike's in Boston. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
So earlier you were talking about, you mentioned J.D. Martinez. Doesn't he, for the rest of his contract, have player opt-outs at the end of each year?
He does,
yes.
So, I mean, obviously I can't speak for him, but why would you want to come back? So if you're Bloom, why don't you try and move him and get something, knowing that there's a pretty good chance he's going to opt out? With the National League also going to a DH, he has doubled the suitors in the offseason for him.
So, Mike, you raise an excellent question. Okay, you raise an excellent question. Why would J.D. Martinez want to come back? And the answer is that he can't get the same money out on the open market. Now, I don't have this right in front of me. I think his salary drops here in the final 2 years.
I think you're right about that.
Okay, I think his salary drops.
So it's 25 this year, it's 23 next, and 22 the year after?
I think he drops to just under 20 the next two. 19 and change, if I remember it right. But I'm not sure I remember it right. Matt McCarthy's looking it up right now.
You're right, Maz. 19 next year, 19 the year after.
Okay, so he's got 2 years and call it $38 million left. The Red Sox would take the hit on the bonus money or whatever else. 2 years and 38 for J.D. Martinez, if you're a National League team, is a good deal. So would J.D. Martinez opt out? Yes. Now, the caller brings up a good point that, you know, there are more teams in the market now for DHs. So J.D. Martinez should have somewhere to go. Yes, he should. I would also tell you that post-COVID, who knows what the market's going to be like, how many teams are going to try to cut payroll, whatever else. Now, if I were the Red Sox, I would take a chance here that J.D. Martinez is gone and that you can convince a team at 19 per and you say to them, hey, look, you're going to need a DH next year. It's a good deal. $19 million, this guy can hit. And then get themselves a pitching prospect. Yes, I would move J.D. Martinez. I'm a little reluctant because I think your lineup changes dramatically without him. But nonetheless, to tell me what the pitcher is and tell me, and I'll tell you whether or not I would move him. Okay, so that's something to consider. But yes, he's in play, I would think. I don't think he's an absolute no because I'm not sure how long he is for the Red Sox anyway.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.